This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A car bomb exploded Tuesday near a police station in the Iraq city of Fallujah, killing at least four people, a day after a series of suicide bombings in Baghdad left about three dozen dead. The Fallujah attack came hours after four American soldiers were wounded in ambushes in northern Iraq. Monday was the bloodiest day in the Iraqi capital since President Bush declared the end of combat 6 months ago. Suicide bombers struck the Red Cross headquarters and three police stations, and the dead included eight Iraqi policemen and at least 26 Iraqi civilians and a U.S. soldier. Influential Lebanese politician Walid Jumblatt expressed regret that U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz was unhurt in a Baghdad rocket attack. "We hope the firing will be more precise and efficient next time so we get rid of this microbe and people like him in Washington who are spreading disorder in Arab lands, Iraq, and Palestine," Jumblatt said in a statement. He called Wolfowitz one of the main architects of the destruction of Iraq. The U.S. Embassy reacted with fury to the comments. Independent voters, who some say are key to President Bush's re-election hopes next year, are losing confidence in his leadership in Iraq as attacks there continue, according to a new USA Today CNN Gallup poll. In the poll, 39% of independents approve of the way the Bush administration has handled things in Iraq since Bush declared an end to combat 6 months ago. 57% of independents disapprove. In the public overall, 47% approve. That is a substantial deterioration from late April, when it was assumed that the U.S. troops had secured the country. With wind-driven flames threatening San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, firefighters got ready Tuesday for another day of battling one of the most destructive and deadly wildfire outbreaks in state history. More than 1,100 homes had been destroyed and 15 people killed by five separate blazes scattered around Southern California, from the Mexican border north to the suburbs of Los Angeles. A handful of other fires that hadn't hit any homes also consumed tens of thousands of acres of brush and forest lands, bringing the total burn to more than 500,000 acres. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
An Austrian vandal apparently bent on revenge used super glue to seal shut the doors of a public sauna and then fouled the facility's swimming pool with a large amount of motor oil on Monday. The attack happened over the weekend at the sauna in the southern Austrian city of Graz, and the investigator said revenge was the probable motive. The sauna's owner had to chisel the glued locks off the door and replace them, as well as completely drain the pool to clean up the oil, which caused an estimated $2,300 in damage.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
The rich get richer the old-fashioned way. They cut insider scratch-my-back deals with each other. Another example of such corruption cropped up in the trial of Frank Quattrone, a former hotshot banker to the high-tech industry. Frank, a banking superstar for Credit Suisse First Boston, has been accused by federal prosecutors of illegally working the system to get his bank to give favorable reviews of the performance of various corporations, thus artificially inflating the value of the corporate stock and deceiving investors. During the trial, the feds produced an email exchange between Frank and Michael Dell, the high-flying honcho of Dell Computers. Frank notified Michael that the stock of a privately held company was about to go public, and that a block of the stock could be allocated to him 2 days before the rest of the public knew about the stock offering. Frank wrote to Michael, "My team has gotten word to me that you are personally interested in receiving a meaningful allocation of the stock." This kind of insider scheme virtually guarantees that the Michael Dells of the world make a fat, effortless profit. Sure enough, Michael snapped up shares in the pre-sale at $36 each, and 2 days later, when the stock went public, his shares almost tripled in value. But the emails show that this stock gimme was just an opener by Frank to try to get Michael to throw Dell's banking business to Credit Suisse. The bank was about to hire a stock analyst who would be reporting on Michael's business, and Frank asked if the analyst they had in mind was okay with Dell. No, was the answer. You might be better off with a fresh new talent, Michael wrote to Frank. This is Jim Hightower saying, if the stock market strikes you as a rigged game, these emails show you're right. Back-scratching deals and hand-picked analysts are the way the game is played. And now, the powers that be want you and me to put our Social Security money in the hands of these corrupt players.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Did you hear that first part? Good evening, Truth Seekers. Welcome to the program. Produced by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. You can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. And tonight we'll be covering piance and freance, among other things. Anybody have definitions of those words yet? Those are the words that Bush spoke the other day when he was talking about, well, the situation in Iraq requires that we have piance and freance. We have more for you tonight. We have some sound clips for you tonight from his 47-minute press conference today that are pretty astonishing. Especially the one where he disavowed any knowledge whatsoever of the mission accomplished banner. This cheesy little bastard. I mean, he has to lie about everything, doesn't he? He just lies about it. He just shifts responsibility about everything. I don't know anything about it. Don't know anything about it. And then his spinmeisters have to come out after the press conference and say,
there is a little bit more to it than that.
So we'll have all that for you. All right? Thursday night at 9:30. Well, I'm sorry. Thursday night at the end of the first half hour. Not everybody listens to the program is in this hemisphere, much less this time zone. But we will be joined by Dennis Kucinich during the second half hour of the program on Thursday. All right? A couple of quick items here. This is going to give great pause to people who like to do violence against homosexuals. And it's also going to just freak out gun nut conservatives. But here's the story. A national group dedicated to training gay and lesbian individuals to use guns for self-defense is getting a chapter started in Ohio. The name of this organization is Pink Pistols. It's created 3 years ago in Boston. Never heard of this group, Pink Pistols. And apparently there are now 38 chapters of this organization in the United States and at least 5,000 members. One of the members said she has twice fended off attempted assaults outside gay clubs in Columbus, Ohio. She said she has seen how quickly things can escalate in gay bashings. So she and a few acquaintances started attending monthly target practice sessions at a gun range in suburban Columbus. And the woman says the group now has about 35 members. Pink Pistols, huh? Never heard of that group. You know, I've said before, I do not advocate gun violence. I hate guns. I loathe guns. But I live in America 2003, okay? I live in George Bush's America. I live in America that is being broken into a million pieces by these right-wing thugs. And you can bet your bottom dollar that this boy is going to be armed and extremely dangerous. And I don't, I hope the time comes when those of us who are, I'm not talking about NRA freaks or penile extension freaks who love the guns because it makes them, you know, bigger and better. I'm not talking about you people. You people are nuts. You're crazy. I'm talking about just normal people like gays and lesbians and me and you and Democrats and liberals and conservatives and Christians and Jews and, you know, just normal people who understand where we are and what this crime family is about, the one in the White House. So, like I've said before, keep your powder dry and make sure you understand your weapon, or it will understand you. And if you are so stupid to leave your rifle, your pistol, whatever, laying around, somebody in your family dies, you are going to burn in hell. So keep that in mind. What's going on in the on the sun? We have engineers. We have who listen to this program. We have physicists who listen to this program. The story around on a lot of media outlets now, one of the largest known solar flares ever. Well, since they've been keeping track, who knows ever, erupted from the sun today. So tomorrow or Thursday, the planet, this planet, is going to pass through a storm of superheated gas. Now, this thing was classified, these are all new terms to me, it was classified as an X18 flare, making it the third largest on record. In comparison, two solar storms observed last week were only X1.2 flares. This was an X18 flare. One X-class burst in March 1989, for example, knocked out power for millions of people in Canada. Flares are also often associated with what they call coronal mass ejections, or CMEs, eruptions from the sun that, if headed our way, usually reach our planet in 2 to 4 days. Now, the last time one of these big ones happened, it didn't come this way. It just blew off into a different direction. I don't know. Now, what has space weather people kind of intrigued? They say this little period of strong solar flares that we've been going through for the past couple of weeks, I guess, is unusual because it's not following normal patterns of solar behavior. The sun follows an 11-year cycle of activity, apparently, and the last peak being around 2000. So, it you know, what's going on? This must be the effect of Planet X as it moves into our, if not solar system, into our corner of the galaxy, and it's having an effect on the sun. Could that be? I know. A lot of you, every time I bring up Planet X, a lot of you people start scratching your heads going, Jesus, what's wrong with Malloy? Is this like astrology stuff? Okay, you laugh now. Is it fair to say, and I think it is, that George Bush is the one of the most serious anti-family presidents in a long time? You know, the right wing touts itself, the Republican Party, these neo-fascists, these thugs, talk about their pro-family because they like to queer bash, and they like to tell women to shut up, sit down. You know, if you get a fetus inside of you, by God, you're going to deliver. You know, that sort of thing. Don't use condoms. Condoms are full of holes. Pro-family, right? Pro-family, Republicans. Well, writing at Counterpunch, Bill Kaufman, I'm not going to go through the whole thing here. I'll post it and you can read it later. But he says, behold the perverse and heart-wrenchingly anti-family policies of Bush, Rumsfeld, and Cheney. To wit, women reservists, young mothers of infants and small children, leaving their families to go halfway around the world to act as cogs, expendable parts in the machinery of the deeply anti-American empire. Yeah. It is. You know, until I saw the headline here, An Empire of Widows and Orphans, George Bush, the anti-family president, for some reason that part escaped me. That the Bush policies of endless war, preemptive war, axis of evil, all this nonsense, this jive turkey lying nonsense that Bush comes up with is so anti-family. Sending women into combat. Sending mothers. All right, okay. If that's not politically correct, well, excuse me. How about that? Let me rephrase it. Sending mothers into combat. Okay, sending fathers into combat. War and killing is a young, single person's enterprise, isn't it? And mostly young men, isn't it? Shouldn't it be? We are the gender of killers, not women. Or is that just hopelessly outdated? I don't know anymore. I have no idea. I have no idea. A lot of people say, well, Malloy, did you serve in the military? And I say, no, I did not. And let me tell you why. In 1965, I got the call. And we were living in Jackson. I was living with a girlfriend in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. I was 23, 24 at the time. I thought, okay, I'm going to be drafted, so I'm going to go to OCS. I'm going to be an officer. Went out to Jacksonville Naval Air Station. Took my physical. Now, the situation was I'd got divorced. I had two children. And then my girlfriend and I found out we were pregnant, so we got married. And the draft board sent me a reclassification. They said, well, you've got three children now, so we're not going to take you. And, of course, I jumped up and down and applauded and said, yeah, oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you. Because we were ready to go. I mean, it was just once you get your notice of acceptability for you folks who have been through, I don't know if it's different now, but 30 years ago, 35 years ago, you took your physical. I went through the whole process, took the tests, had a sergeant that said, took us all into room. Everybody in here able to hear me? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Quit calling me sir. Okay, you just all passed your hearing test. And then they said, all right, I want everybody in this room who's had any kind of a brush with the law that resulted in a fine of $200 or more or jail time. I want you to go see the morals waiver officer. And I raised my hand. I said, well, I had a traffic a speeding ticket one time. It was $200. Do I have to repeat this for you? I said, okay. So I went to the morals waiver office, the morals waiver officer, young guy who was in the Navy. And he said, I don't know what this is about, man. You know, this is ridiculous. This is a speeding ticket. He said, listen, just let me fill out the forms for you. Trust me. They're sending everybody to Vietnam. And some of you guys getting drafted today are going to go in the Marine Corps. So, well, whatever. So in that about 90-day delay, then the woman I was living with and I found out we were pregnant. So we got married. And, whoops, what was that? And the draft board sent me, they took me from 1A to 3A. And they said, well, Malloy, when the VC started invading St. Augustine, we will call you. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Mike, I actually can help you with the astronomy questions.
Okay. Solar flares that were going on now, a huge one today.
Yeah, that's been happening. I guess there were a couple of really big ones last week, too, and they were in the paper here.
Right, right.
Solar flares basically are caused by, we think, internal mechanisms within the sun. The nuclear reactions are just stepping up. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we think is actually happening with the sun is it's actually changing. It's never really constant.
Let me get you to hold right there while we do a break, and we'll come back and talk about this because this is interesting to me. Okay, can you hold on?
Sure.
All right, Tony, we'll come right back.
Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
trying to say?
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If he's got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If he's got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments. The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. And we're talking to Tony, who's called in from Waukegan, Illinois. He's explaining the sunspot activity to us here. Because one today, according to astronomers or space weather experts, is one of the three biggest ever recorded. And tomorrow or Thursday, planet Earth will be enveloped in this What do you call it? An ion storm, Tony?
Yeah, it's basically an ion storm. Basically, the sun is constantly pumping out radiation, right?
Right.
And a lot of them are basically charged particles. And those charged particles, usually the Earth's magnetic field protects us, you know, an awful lot from them, so we don't even notice them.
Right.
But when the sun goes out and it really unleashes a storm like it's had evidently the last couple of weeks, the Earth's magnetic field is simply not strong enough to deflect all the particles coming at us.
Right.
And over the next several days, this is what you're going to notice. There may be power. You mentioned the power outages that happened in Toronto a few years ago. We may have that happen again across not just, you know, North America, but literally it could affect the entire planet. You're going to see the aurora borealis effects are going to be very, very vivid, and you may be able to see them literally all over the planet, not just in the northern and southern areas.
Uh-huh.
You may even see them, you know, down as far as Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the size of the storms. You're going to lose satellites, communication satellites, you know, like for your cell phones or for your DirecTV or all that kind of stuff. It could be affected.
What about global positioning satellites?
Oh, yeah, GPS satellites, all of those things will definitely be affected.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, you know, that has all kinds of implications, not the least of which, what about our people who are being shot to death in Afghanistan who rely on GPS to tell them where they are. You know, they're not familiar with that terrain. We had two CIA contract workers blown away yesterday in Afghanistan, even though, you know, Bush and the rest of these thugs say that the Taliban is gone and everything's fine in Afghanistan. So I would think that our military or our special ops people who are using GPS locators are going to be in a world of hurt for maybe 24, 48, 72 hours.
Yeah, possibly. And, you know, again, those satellites are very vulnerable to that kind of radiation. They try their best to shield them, but, again, there's only so much shielding you can do against the sun.
Right, right.
One of the biggest concerns, though, and you'll have to tell me about this Planet X, by the way. This is the first time I've actually heard
well,
it.
Well, here's what I do, Tony. Just go to Google, type in Planet X, and you will have more stuff to look at than you could possibly imagine. But just very quickly, in a couple of sentences, and now most people are going to laugh, this is a huge heavenly body, if you'll pardon the expression, that allegedly makes an orbit through our solar system about every 50-some thousand years. And over the course of ancient history, it has had profound effects on the planet. It doesn't hit Earth. It just passes close enough in astronomical terms to cause all kinds of hell on this planet.
I've actually heard of this.
Yeah, and it's coming. It's on its way back, and as it enters near the orbit of Pluto, which is just forever away from us, as it enters that orbit, it starts to have an effect, a magnetic effect, on the planets and on the sun. And the speculation is as this thing comes close to Earth again. Now, it's not every 56,000 years. My bad. It's about every 6,000 years. I forget what the 56K number is about. It has some significance, but about every 6,000 years. And this explains the positioning, for example, of certain pyramids. This explains a certain biblical phenomenon. Phenomena. It explains certain Chinese observations from eons ago. The result of what happened on this planet because of on this planet as a result of Planet X. But type it into Google and you'll get just an astonishing amount of material. Okay.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you something real quick about that.
Okay. Well, hold on. One more time, Tony, and then we'll come back and clear it off. Got a break here.
And high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Fighting wildfires is dangerous work. It can also be surprisingly boring. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. David Callahan has fought wildfires for more than 25 years in Oregon's Applegate Valley. He's gotten a close-up view of one of nature's most unpredictable forces.
Sometimes it's extremely exciting and downright frightening. That's when Mother Nature is really blowing up. She's, you know, moving it along, and that's pretty much the scenes that you see on television. But, you know, sometimes it's really boring.
Callahan says fighting wildfires often requires some pretty mundane work. For example, treating hot spots in areas that have already burned through can be tedious, and firefighters have to lug heavy gear over rugged terrain, usually in summer heat, often shrouded in smoke. But Callahan says the worst part is the waiting. A wildfire operates on its own schedule, sometimes crawling along. For example, during last year's Squires fire in Oregon, Callahan was on a crew waiting for the right moment to do a backburn as the fire crept downhill toward them. A backburn is intentionally set to take out fuel in the path of a fire, and it has to be timed just right. But the fire took hours to travel a few hundred feet down the slope. Callahan says the crew was still waiting at 2 a.m.
In frustration, we went ahead and did our backburn, which wasn't that effective. But it was just creeping along. There was literally nothing to do during this time frame. And that happens a lot. There's a lot of stand-around time sometimes on a fire, depending on what sort of task you're trying to do. Other times, look out. You know, you can't get out of the way fast enough.
It's that unpredictability that makes wildfires so dangerous, and it's one of the reasons Callahan opposes fighting fires that don't threaten communities or homes. He says they're part of nature, and we should stay out of their way. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are still talking with Tony here in Waukegan about the sunspot thing. Now, you were, I forget what, you were just going to put some icing on the cake. What was it?
Yeah, just on your Planet X thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I did a little research about that back when I was in college. And actually, it wasn't called Planet X. It was an object that has been hypothesized out there called Nemesis.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Nemesis thing, basically, the way it works is that it's supposed to be like a dark star or maybe like a burned-out star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working with, like, magnetism or electromagnetic anything. It's gravity.
Oh, I see.
And the gravitational pull of this thing, when the sun as the sun rotates around each other, because it may be a dark companion star.
Right.
And it gravitationally affects things out beyond Pluto's orbit called the Oort cloud, and it can influence like comets and stuff like that, and send them shooting in towards the inner solar system, causing like, you know, possibly mass extinctions and stuff like that. But I've never in all my years heard anything quite like what you just said. So.
Well, what you just stated is pretty much what the Planet X thing on these various websites will tell you. The Oort belt, is it called?
Oort cloud.
Oort cloud. But check it out, Tony, and maybe at some later point you can give me your professional opinion.
All right. Well, it's an amateur astronomy opinion, but
that'll work.
All right.
Thanks, Tony.
Sure. Bye bye.
All right,
bye.
Sir. Appreciate your call. All right. We we're just getting a whole rush. You'll pardon the expression of calls in here about Sirius satellite radio tonight. Kathy, open your mic and
hi.
Let's discuss this very quickly.
Yeah, I've just been getting a ton of calls from angry Sirius listeners, understandably. Apparently, they have preempted the program on Sirius Radio Left 145 because
our program they preempted, right?
Right. They're playing some state basketball finals.
State?
I believe he said the state finals. And the reason is that they've got three sports channels, and they have this Radio Left, Channel 145,
We're the dumping ground?
Designated as an overflow channel.
We're the dumping ground.
When all their other sports programming is predetermined and they need to play another sports show,
they preempt our
program.
They
preempt this. Right. Okay. And callers are asking me, quite legitimately, why aren't they preempting Christian Wright broadcasting?
Duh.
Preempting other...
All right, well,
here goes my phone again.
Give the phone number where people can call and complain.
The number, if you're a serious subscriber and you're angry about that, is 888-539-7474. 888-539-7474.
And that's a toll-free number. Okay.
Call up and say, I want my Mac Malloy.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, we were just getting all kinds of phone calls in here about this. But isn't that just the way it always works? Huh? I've got no complaint against Sirius. They've put this program on their system. But as soon as this God, I hate sports. As soon as they need some place to throw an overflow, where does it go? It goes right here to Sirius Left, Channel 145. How many channels do they have, right? Like Kathy said, why not dump it into some of this fake Christian broadcasting crap? No, that's just to override the liberals. Oh, Jesus, I hate these people. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't? CG is calling from Pensacola. Welcome to the program, CG.
Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, sir.
Welcome aboard.
You was telling the story about the Army that really brought back some memories there.
Yeah?
Yeah, we went up to Montgomery when we did ours.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
I have to get you on the Internet.
Uh-huh.
And so naturally I'm stuck by the computer, you know.
Sure.
So I figured out a little way there, something might pass it on. You can take a baby room monitor.
Yeah, somebody else said that.
Yeah, put the monitor up by there, and then you can carry the little monitor around with you.
It's hell what you have to do to hear this program. It is just hell.
You know, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and so I get addicted easily, you know.
Right.
Now I'm addicted to your show, and I can't leave it alone.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but that's a lot better addiction than some things I've been on.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
You know, I don't like to blow smoke on you, but, you know, some things you say feel like they're coming out of the back of my head because I'm getting ready to think the same thing.
Yeah, well.
Man, you know, because I hate these people, too. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and you just don't hear it. And I try to talk to people at work sometime, and a few listen, but I don't know.
You got to be careful doing that,
yeah,
CG, because a lot of folks don't take the time to do any research or to do independent, listening to independent or reading independent news sources. And, you know, they get a lot of their stuff from Fox, or they get a lot of their stuff from these right-wing talk show hosts. And God knows Pensacola doesn't have a liberal in the media down there anywhere at all.
Not even close.
Not even close. So,
not even close. It's sad.
Yeah. So you got to be careful. I'm glad you found this program.
Well,
and
I really do. And I really enjoy it. And I don't know. Just keep up the good work. And I don't know. It's a... I guess we're about the same age or so, because I'm getting old, too. I'm 60.
We're all getting old.
The other day...
Hey, what's the alternative?
Yeah, I know it. My daughter took a picture of me doing something in a group, and I said, who in the hell is that?
Yeah, I know. You must be...
Like you were talking about. And I
last
said,
night,
that you,
yeah.
Dad?
Yeah.
And I said, Bush. You know?
Yeah.
That's an old man there. You talk about leaving the other day, too. And, you know, that's true. Where are you going to go?
That's right.
Well, I won't tie it up anymore.
Well, CG, I'm glad you found the show.
Well,
thanks for calling.
I stay on it. You know, being on the Internet, they get radio power and all that. A lot of those places play your show over and over and over. Sometimes I hear the same show 4 and 5 times a weekend.
That'll make you crazy.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Well, thanks, CG, and don't be a stranger.
Man.
Call
Thank
us
you.
Again.
I appreciate everything you do, for
Thank,
real.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah. All right. Now, I've got to share this with you, and then we're going to get to the sound. But I got this from Christopher, and he sent his full name, but I don't know if I should use this or not. But the subject line, he sent this last night, the 911 Commission should ask the NORAD High Command why an air defense emergency was not declared after the first plane hit the World Trade Center North Tower. Now, this is what we're talking about. You know, this cover-up. The Bush crime family refuses to release information to the independent 911 or the bipartisan 911 Commission. Now, why don't you hear this? There's some military talk in here, but listen up. Hi, Mike. I used to work on one of the operational crews that manned Cheyenne Mountain Complex, in other words, the NORAD headquarters, in the mid to late 80s. I can tell you now that an air defense emergency should have been declared by the command director, who is the on-duty representative of CINC NORAD. I guess CINC is Commander-in-Chief NORAD. They had the reports coming in from the pertinent FAA air traffic control centers to the Air Defense Operations Center at Cheyenne Mountain Complex, detailing the abrupt course changes and sudden dropouts of the IFF transponders. Now, he's talking about the transponders on these planes, the ones that hit the trade centers. The command director on duty at the time had uncorroborated confirmation of the first airplane's impact with World Trade Center's North Tower. At about the time the explosion occurred, minutes before the news media flooded the airwaves with that horrific imagery, the confirmation of the first airplane's impact and subsequent explosion would have been reported by NORAD's Missile Warning Center by their missile launch detection satellite called the Defense Support Program, positioned in geostationary orbit over the Atlantic Ocean, and referred to as DSP, Defense Support Program, DSP-Atlantic. This satellite system can detect missile launches and their associated flight parameters, and it is also capable of detecting ground explosions of the magnitude of the planes crashing into the World Trade Center's North and South Towers and providing a geographic location. The command director and CINC NORAD are obligated by regulation to have their threat assessments reported within minutes. DSP, Defense Support Program, would have had that confirmation to them in near real time, giving NORAD and the National Command Authorities incontrovertible proof that the conditions for an air defense emergency existed. Now, the National Command Authorities are comprised of the President, the Vice President, Secretary of Defense. Christopher goes on, every available fighter jet within the northeastern NORAD air defense sector should have been scrambled to defend that airspace. This is what I'd like to know. NORAD had clear indications that an air defense emergency existed, and they did nothing. what type of threat reporting occurred between the command director, CINC NORAD, and the National Military Command Center, in other words, the Joint Chiefs, during this air defense emergency? Yeah. Thanks, Christopher. It's almost impossible to consider the implications, isn't it? That the United States military at the highest levels worked in conjunction with the neo-fascist civilian leadership of this country to allow this country to remain vulnerable while something as horrendous as the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon were allowed to be completed. And anybody who says that there's not something here is either a right-wing Republican or just dumber than dog droppings. The United States was under attack. Jesus Christ, we were under attack. And not a single defense response occurred whatsoever. Nothing. 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 Now, are we to believe that after a 50-year-long Cold War, with hair-trigger defenses, with missiles pointed every which way, with North American air defense commands, with all sorts of hair-trigger responses ready to go, that for some reason, without any coordination from the Bush crime family, every single bit of that defense remained immobilized while this attack was carried out against the United States? Is that what we are to believe? Yes, that is what we are to believe. That is what every single right-wing commentator wants to cram down your throat. That's what the Bush crime family wants to cram down your throat. That's what the media wants to cram down your throat. That's what we are supposed to believe. That this country was not only totally vulnerable to this sort of thing, but we were forced to remain vulnerable while the attack was carried out. And the Bush crime family says, no, and we'll have some sound of this traitorous rat bastard in the White House telling a reporter today, well, no, that's sensitive information. No, we're not going to release it. We're not going to release it. It's just astounding. And why did we impeach Clinton? Oh, that's right. Oral sex. And he lied about it. I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. And the Bush administration continues to rocket this country into chaos and destruction. And there's not one single Democrat in the House of Representatives who will introduce a bill of impeachment. It's just unbelievable. It's too early in the program for me to get that pissed off. I usually don't get that to that level till we're about halfway through, but Christopher's email here. This is a guy who worked on one of the operational crews inside Cheyenne Mountain Complex, NORAD. And he knows. And he understands what the system is. And most people, I don't understand. I don't get this. Up the chain of command. Is there not a single uniformed officer in our entire military, in the United States Air Force, who has the courage to stand out and say, look, I was there. This is what these bastards did. Is there not one? Is there not one United States Air Force officer who has the decency, the courage, the patriotism, the contempt for these people who allowed this to happen? Who will not stand out, who will not call a press conference, What has happened? Has word come out from some secret hit squad inside the Pentagon that if any officer states categorically what happened, they'll be executed? What's going on? Is there nobody in this country? Not a single officer, not a single military person, not a single FA person. Nobody. Is there nobody who can tell us why? Our air defense system was utterly and totally suppressed while this attack was carried out against us. Is there nobody? Is there not one single officer, politician, federal employee who will say, look, the Bush crime family engineered an atrocity against the United States? Jesus, I'm starting to hate my country. All of the things that's wrong, that's wrong. Which you stand tall and strong, and strong. Oh, you turn it so with the Fourth Amendment gone, I go on the first. That's why I'm spitting cyanide each and every verse. I see the Carlisle Group and Harris bank accounts. I see them plead the fifth each and every session now. Cause America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is make an enemy. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being ass crossed, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major. What would you do if you do all the things we know? Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing, Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Billy emailed in. Andrew Card even told Bush that the U.S. was under attack when he interrupted his little photo op with the kiddies. And of course, Bush sat there like a rabbit that he is for the next, I don't know, what was it, 15, 20 minutes. You know, the implications of this are just horrendous. If it is true, then George W. Bush and his entire cabinet should be tried as for treason, war criminals, in jail for the rest of their lives. Right? I mean, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? They might even be eligible for the death penalty. If a deliberate order came from anybody in the Bush crime family to suppress our Air Defense Command, it's astonishing to think about this. How in the hell could this jet that slammed into the Pentagon, how, please, will somebody tell me, how could this thing have penetrated airspace? Here is a jetliner out of control, off its flight path, heading for Washington, D.C., and not a single jet fighter is scrambled from any of the military bases in Northern Virginia or Maryland? Not one? It's either of two situations. The United States military is not worth the powder to blow it to hell. Or the United States military was given a direct order from the highest levels of civilian command, sit there and don't do anything. Is there a third choice? Did renegade United States military officers allow this to happen for some reason? I don't think so. I don't understand why for 2 years we have talked about anything other than what occurred on September 11th, and why the United States military, our defense systems, responded with nothing, nothing, nothing. And where those orders came from. Oh, geez. All right. Let's we've got other things to talk about, of course. So we'll take a break and return. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. With wind-driven flames threatening San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, firefighters got ready Tuesday for another day of battling one of the most destructive and deadly wildfire outbreaks in state history. More than 1,100 homes had been destroyed and 15 people killed by five separate blazes scattered around Southern California, from the Mexican border north to the suburbs of Los Angeles. A handful of other fires that hadn't hit any homes also consumed tens of thousands of acres of brush and forest lands, bringing the total burn to more than 500,000 acres. A car bomb exploded Tuesday near a police station in the Iraq city of Fallujah, killing at least four people, a day after a series of suicide bombings in Baghdad left about three dozen dead. The Fallujah attack came hours after four American soldiers were wounded in ambushes in northern Iraq. Monday was the bloodiest day in the Iraqi capital since President Bush declared the end of combat 6 months ago. Suicide bombers struck the Red Cross headquarters and three police stations, and the dead included eight Iraqi policemen and at least 26 Iraqi civilians and a U.S. soldier. Influential Lebanese politician Walid Jumblatt expressed regret that U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz was unhurt in a Baghdad rocket attack. "We hope the firing will be more precise and efficient next time so we get rid of this microbe and people like him in Washington who are spreading disorder in Arab lands, Iraq, and Palestine," Jumblatt said in a statement. He called Wolfowitz one of the main architects of the destruction of Iraq. The U.S. Embassy reacted with fury to the comments. Independent voters, who some say are key to President Bush's re-election hopes next year, are losing confidence in his leadership in Iraq as attacks there continue, according to a new USA Today CNN Gallup poll. In the poll, 39% of independents approve of the way the Bush administration has handled things in Iraq since Bush declared an end to combat 6 months ago. 57% of independents disapprove. In the public overall, 47% approve. That is a substantial deterioration from late April, when it was assumed that the U.S. troops had secured the country. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Sounds like a fair trade. Blood for beer. United Blood Services of Durango, Colorado held an unusual blood drive this weekend. Donors got a free pint of beer for a pint of blood. Four area breweries took part in the promotion. People from the blood bank got in the spirit of the season by dressing in Halloween costumes, including vampires. There was a little more at stake for the brewers than just civic pride. The owner of the brewery that collected the least amount of blood will get a makeover today. Hair dyed blood red.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
The rich get richer the old-fashioned way. They cut insider scratch-my-back deals with each other. Another example of such corruption cropped up in the trial of Frank Quattrone, a former hotshot banker to the high-tech industry. Frank, a banking superstar for Credit Suisse First Boston, has been accused by federal prosecutors of illegally working the system to get his bank to give favorable reviews of the performance of various corporations, thus artificially inflating the value of the corporate stock and deceiving investors. During the trial, the feds produced an email exchange between Frank and Michael Dell, the high-flying honcho of Dell Computers. Frank notified Michael that the stock of a privately held company was about to go public, and that a block of the stock could be allocated to him 2 days before the rest of the public knew about the stock offering. Frank wrote to Michael, "My team has gotten word to me that you are personally interested in receiving a meaningful allocation of the stock." This kind of insider scheme virtually guarantees that the Michael Dells of the world make a fat, effortless profit. Sure enough, Michael snapped up shares in the pre-sale at $36 each, and 2 days later, when the stock went public, his shares almost tripled in value. But the emails show that this stock gimme was just an opener by Frank to try to get Michael to throw Dell's banking business to Credit Suisse. The bank was about to hire a stock analyst who would be reporting on Michael's business, and Frank asked if the analyst they had in mind was okay with Dell. "No," was the answer. "You might be better off with a fresh new talent," Michael wrote to Frank. This is Jim Hightower saying, if the stock market strikes you as a rigged game, these emails show you're right. Back-scratching deals and hand-picked analysts are the way the game is played. And now, the powers that be want you and me to put our Social Security money in the hands of these corrupt players.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals.
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Somewhere, somewhere, I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. All right. We're getting closer to this press conference that was held today. Now, before we start getting into these comments, the Associated Press reported today that two contractors working for the CIA, they were not members of the CIA. They were contracted by the CIA. These two men were killed in an ambush in Afghanistan. Now, it is unusual for the CIA to announce names and ages and deaths of people who work in special ops forces. But these two guys, William Carlson, 43, of Southern Pines, North Carolina, Christopher Mueller, 32, of San Diego, they've been fully identified down to their ages. They were tracking terrorists operating in the region, according to this particular region of Afghanistan, according to the CIA announcement. The region is Shkin, S-H-K-I-N, a village in eastern Afghanistan. They were killed Saturday. Both were veterans of military special ops. According to the AP, the pair was working for the CIA's Directorate of Operations, which conducts clandestine intelligence gathering and covert operations. That is also the division that takes care of so-called wet operations, murders and assassinations. The CIA statement says the agency consulted with the dead officers' families and decided their names could be released without compromising ongoing operations. What else? This area, according to the AP, is a stronghold for Al-Qaeda, Taliban, and other anti-U.S. fighters, the area where these two men were killed. The agency did not provide particulars on the ambush or the two operatives' mission, but it appeared connected to battles in the same area that were described by Afghan and American military officials. In one fight, now this is pertinent, all right? Americans being killed. And yes, these are guys who go into these kinds of operations understanding what the risks are. But this is pertinent because it focuses back on what Too Stupid to Be President said at his piss-anty little press conference today. So listen up. The CIA said there are pitched battles in this area. In one fight, six U.S. allied Afghan militiamen were wounded in battle with 25 fighters. American attack jets and helicopters were summoned. Approximately 18 enemy personnel were killed, if you believe it, according to a statement from the U.S.-led coalition. So there are pitch battles, there's warfare, there's covert, there's overt operations, all sorts of stuff going on in Afghanistan. You remember Afghanistan, don't you? Of course you do. So do I. But what did Too Stupid to Be President have to say today? From his opening remarks, how the world is much safer because, well, let him tell you.
The world is safer today because Saddam Hussein and the Taliban are gone.
Oh.
We're now working with many nations to make sure Afghanistan and Iraq are never again a source of terror and danger for the rest of the world.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yes, yeah, Saddam Hussein and the Taliban are gone. Well, who is killing our people? Who is conducting the pitched battles against our forces in Afghanistan? Oh, it must be ghosts. Well, it is Halloween week, isn't it? It must be ghosts, right, George? Is this man this much of a liar, or is he this stupid, or both? There were so many lies, so many distortions in that press conference today. It was just unbelievable. And you could tell that the Bush baby was jacked up. Was he not Valiumed out of his mind? Now, the 911 families. The only thing I can say about the 911 families who are Bush supporters, are you people crazy? This man had your relatives murdered. And according to the Staten Island newspaper, it says even September 11 victims, survivors who are strong backers of Bush are chagrined. Chagrined? By his reluctance to turn over key documents to the Independent Commission investigating the terrorist attacks. Sonny Goldstein of Dongan Hills in Long Island said, I'm a Bush supporter, but I still want to know what happened. His daughter was murdered at the World Trade Center. And he said that despite his confidence in Bush, he was concerned about the possibility that the president could be trying to cover up something. Goldstein said, look, this is about my daughter. You could be my best friend, but if you were holding something back about September 11th, I would want to know about it. Another guy, James Ilario of Lighthouse Hill in Staten Island, whose wife died in the Twin Towers attack. I'm disappointed because I'm a Bush supporter. I don't know why all these games are being played. It makes no sense to me, said James Ilario. But Ilario here rejected allegations that Bush was trying to conceal evidence that the White House received advance warning weeks before the September 11th attacks and failed to act on it. Jesus, is this guy, Ilario, who lost his wife, is he still in such a grieving process that he's brain dead? Everybody on the planet who cares to know knows that information was received, that an attack on this country was going to occur. So what is Mr. Ilario, who lost his wife, what does he say? referring to Democrats in Congress who say the White House knew about this. Hilario said these people would do anything to hurt George Bush. Jesus, oh my God, how can people be this deep into denial? Former Republican borough president Guy Molinari expressed similar dismay that Bush was balking at providing documents sought by the commission. Molinari, who was himself a candidate for membership of the commission when it was being formed last fall, said, "When I read that he has not been cooperative as I expect him to be, it troubles me deeply." Troubles you? Troubles you? But you see, Molinari, according to Long Island or Staten Island newspaper, is a personal friend of Bush's father's. So Molinari dismisses the possibility of bad faith on Bush Jr.'s part. He says, "I cannot imagine this type of family could be guilty of a cover-up."
I can't. Oh, no. Oh, God. How could that be?
Now, what did Bush have to say today? The other day when he was had a little photo op with the military dictator of Iraq, Paul Bremer, he said, "Yeah, well, my lawyer, Gonzalez, is handling that." Now, next question. That's sensitive material. Okay, so today, in his little Rose Garden press conference, wherever it was, a reporter wants to know about Bush's blocking the 911 investigation. The reporter says, "Mr. President, as you know, the chairman of the commission investigating the September 11th attacks wants documents from the White House. And he said this week that he might have to use subpoena power. Will you turn them over? Or can you at least outline for the American people what you think is a reasonable compromise so that the commission learns what it needs to know?"
It is important for me to protect national security. You're talking about the presidential daily brief. It's important for the writers of the presidential daily brief to feel comfortable that the documents won't ever be politicized and or unnecessarily exposed for public purview. And so therefore, the first statements out of this administration were very protective of the presidential prerogatives of the past and to protect the right for other presidents, future presidents, to have a good presidential daily brief.
Can you believe this? Huh? Yeah. It's important for the writers of the daily brief to feel comfortable that the documents will never be publicized and or unnecessarily exposed for public purview. Unnecessarily exposed? 3,000 people were killed in this country, you moron! And there has been no assessment as to why. And you and Cheney did not want an investigation. You called Daschle. You called all kinds of people and said, "Don't investigate this." And 10,000 Iraqis are dead. And 300-plus Americans are dead in that war zone. And 12,000 Afghans are dead. And we don't know how many Americans have died there. And you little bastard, you say unnecessarily exposed for public purview? But he gets away with it. Sure he does. You know why? Because you and I allow him to. And because the national media allows him to. We will impeach Bill Clinton for oral sex in the Oval Office and lying about it. We will have thugs like Henry Hyde and Bob Barr and the rest of these worms march across the Capitol Rotunda into the Senate and bring down the wrath of God and Abraham and talk about World War II and talk about the Statue of Liberty and talk about Jefferson because Bill Clinton lied about oral sex and the Republic is about to collapse. But when it comes to an act of mass murder in the United States and two wars, these people say nothing. Nothing. It is just unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. But here we are. And I will go home tonight, and it's colder than hell here in Atlanta tonight. I will get off at midnight Atlanta time, and we will drive out in the country where we live. And I already got the kindling ready and brought some logs up So when we get home, Kathy will have a glass of wine, and I will have a Jack Black and Coke, and we will have the fire, and we'll sit there and talk about the program, and life goes on. In the meantime, we have a gang of murderers, absolute, utter slaughterers, who are occupying the highest offices in this country. It's astonishing. Okay, let's have some more from the press briefing. We have a break coming up here. We'll get some of these when we come back. It's just your typical George W. Bush thing. But stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. I was sitting in the classroom, and Andy Card, my chief of staff, who was sitting over here, walked in and said, a second plane has hit the tower. America's under attack.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
The rich get richer the old-fashioned way. They cut insider scratch-my-back deals with each other. Another example of such corruption cropped up in the trial of Frank Quattrone, a former hotshot banker to the high-tech industry. Frank, a banking superstar for Credit Suisse First Boston, has been accused by federal prosecutors of illegally working the system to get his bank to give favorable reviews of the performance of various corporations, thus artificially inflating the value of the corporate stock and deceiving investors. During the trial, the feds produced an email exchange between Frank and Michael Dell, the high-flying honcho of Dell Computers. Frank notified Michael that the stock of a privately held company was about to go public, and that a block of the stock could be allocated to him 2 days before the rest of the public knew about the stock offering. Frank wrote to Michael, "My team has gotten word to me that you are personally interested in receiving a meaningful allocation of the stock." This kind of insider scheme virtually guarantees that the Michael Dells of the world make a fat, effortless profit. Sure enough, Michael snapped up shares in the pre-sale at $36 each, and 2 days later, when the stock went public, his shares almost tripled in value. But the emails show that this stock gimme was just an opener by Frank to try to get Michael to throw Dell's banking business to Credit Suisse. The bank was about to hire a stock analyst who would be reporting on Michael's business, and Frank asked if the analyst they had in mind was okay with Dell. No, was the answer. You might be better off with a fresh new talent, Michael wrote to Frank. This is Jim Hightower saying, if the stock market strikes you as a rigged game, these emails show you're right. Back-scratching deals and hand-picked analysts are the way the game is played. And now, the powers that be want you and me to put our Social Security money in the hands of these corrupt players.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, Adam emailed in during the break. Mike, it's such a tragedy, the fires in California. Don't you think that our National Guard, instead of guarding for Bush the oil wells stolen from Iraqis, should be working to put out the fires and guard American homes? Maybe Arnold could suggest this to Bush, huh? Adam, yeah, well. All right, back to the press briefing today. Another reporter says, Mr. President, you just spoke about the suicide bombers in Iraq as being desperate. But as yesterday's attacks show, they're also increasingly successful and seem to be trying to send a warning to institutions like the police and the Red Cross not to cooperate with the United States. So, Mr. President, has the United States been able to identify who's behind this surge of attacks, where they come from, and how to stop them?
I think it's a very interesting point you make in your question. They're trying to send a warning. Basically, what they're trying to do is cause people to run.
Oh my God!
They want to kill and create chaos. That's the nature of a terrorist. That's what terrorists do. We're trying to determine the nature of who these people were, but I will tell you, I would assume that they're either or. And probably both Baathists and foreign terrorists.
Is this the stupidest man you've ever heard? Is this man dumber than dirt? Basically, what they're trying to do is cause people to run. Who uses that kind of language beyond fifth grade? I'm going to make you run. Maybe we're all dead and we're in hell. Maybe that's it. All right, another reporter. Mr. President, in recent weeks, you and your White House team have made a concerted effort to put a positive spin on progress in Iraq. At the same time, there's been a much more somber assessment in private, as with Rumsfeld's memo. And there are people out there who don't believe that the administration is leveling with them about the difficulty and scope of the problem in Iraq, sir.
I can't put it any more plainly. Iraq's a dangerous place. That's leveling.
Oh, my God.
It is a dangerous place. What I was saying is there's more than just terrorist attacks that are taking place in Iraq. There's schools opening. There are hospitals opening. The electricity, the capacity to deliver electricity to Iraqi people is back up to pre-war levels. We're nearly 2 million barrels of oil a day being produced for the Iraqi people. I was just saying, we've got to look at the whole picture.
Unbelievable. 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 News, even as this jackass is standing there talking about schools are open. We quoted for you last night out of Newsweek. 1,500 schools out of 10,000 have been, quote, opened, close quote. And scores of those have vermin in the bathrooms, no running water, no chalkboards, no books, no nothing. Hospitals are off limits now to foreign press. That's anybody other than, I don't know who, Stars and Stripes? Answering another reporter's question with more happy news from liberated Iraq. The reporter says, Senior, we don't have time for this one. All right. Jesus, I don't know. You listen to this guy, and you just want to open a vein. Not necessarily your own, huh? Well, by the way, if we've been informed again here that Sirius Satellite Radio has decided to carry playoff basketball, which means if you listen on Sirius and hockey, if you listen on Sirius 145 and you were interrupted tonight and trying to listen on your computer, there's a phone number you can call and just raise hell. Because if you don't, they won't do anything. It's a toll-free number, 888-539-7474.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Fighting wildfires is dangerous work. It can also be surprisingly boring. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. David Callahan has fought wildfires for more than 25 years in Oregon's Applegate Valley. He's gotten a close-up view of one of nature's most unpredictable forces.
Sometimes it's extremely exciting and downright frightening. That's when Mother Nature is really blowing up. She's, you know, moving it along, and that's pretty much the scenes that you see on television. But, you know, sometimes it's really boring.
Callahan says fighting wildfires often requires some pretty mundane work. For example, treating hot spots in areas that have already burned through can be tedious, and firefighters have to lug heavy gear over rugged terrain, usually in summer heat, often shrouded in smoke. But Callahan says the worst part is the waiting. A wildfire operates on its own schedule, sometimes crawling along. For example, during last year's Squires fire in Oregon, Callahan was on a crew waiting for the right moment to do a backburn as the fire crept downhill toward them. A backburn is intentionally set to take out fuel in the path of a fire, and it has to be timed just right. But the fire took hours to travel a few hundred feet down the slope. Callahan says the crew was still waiting at 2 a.m.
In frustration, we went ahead and did our backburn, which wasn't that effective. But it was just creeping along. There was literally nothing to do during this time frame, and that happens a lot. There's a lot of stand-around time sometimes on a fire, depending on what sort of task you're trying to do. Other times, look out. You know, you can't get out of the way fast enough.
It's that unpredictability that makes wildfires so dangerous, and it's one of the reasons Callahan opposes fighting fires that don't threaten communities or homes. He says they're part of nature, and we should stay out of their way. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, we have more of these, but and I'll get to them in a second. But Captain Mike has been holding on in Hollywood, California for about an hour. Mike, thanks for your patience.
Hey there.
How you doing?
You know, I tell you, I meant to call about something else, but then so much stuff comes out, and then I want to comment on all the other stuff.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's kind of like Mike Rupert said. It's like the whole Bush thing. It's like the train leaving the station, and you reach your hand out to grab the train, and you barely catch the caboose.
Right, exactly.
Meanwhile, everyone else in America is on the platform, totally clueless. Just a couple of things. The stuff about the planes not being intercepted, like I said with Watergate, it's not so much the crime as it is a cover-up. It's not only that, it's also the ridiculousness of the cover-up, which I draw people's attention to, whether it be like, you know, the magic passport and the rubble.
Yeah.
Probably the magic bullet theory of the whole no plane scrambled was, it was something, it was on June 3rd, and it was in the New York Times, and I can't get the link to work, but the excuse given to the 9/11 commission by somebody from the Air Force or somebody testifying, they basically said, well, on 9/11, the radar was facing the wrong way.
Oh, Jesus. You know, somebody who would say that, the radar was facing, where is the debris from the plane that crashed into the Pentagon? Not a seat, not a wingtip, not a piece of, yeah, of windshield, nothing.
You know what I do is I compare that, especially the Pentagon thing. Well, the thing about that thing is that stuff set in stone, and even Meyer said in his testimony before Congress, I mean, this is locked down. This is personal. I mean, this is public record stuff that he admitted for 90 minutes. No planes were scrambled to protect the Pentagon. I mean, they can't go back on that. They can't undo that. They can't undo his testimony and what he said. But some people still can't really figure all of that out. Like, and I put it to them this way. I live in Los Angeles, and I say it's like basically if somebody robbed a bank. You know, especially in L.A., they're all fond of those high-speed chases.
Right,
they always break into the news. And it's like if somebody robbed a bank here in L.A., and they got on the 405 and they headed south.
Mm-hmm.
And basically there's a Fox News helicopter kind of like the radar's watching the planes.
Sure.
And basically these guys basically make it all the way to San Diego without a single cop car stopping.
Yeah, insane stuff. And we're supposed to believe this. We're supposed to sit here or go about our business when an attack was engineered on this country by somebody. We've been told it was 15 people, four of whom have turned up in various places around the world, all of whom were supposed to be conveniently dead,
yeah,
or 19 people, I'm sorry. 15 of them were Saudis, so we attack Afghanistan. It's just we don't do anything. For Christ's sake, we don't do anything.
But what I would do is I would encourage you, because it's so frustrating, and I hear you say you usually don't get worked up until like later in the show.
Right.
This is and this sounds very pretentious being an actor, but I thought I'd give you Bill Shakespeare's always got a few words for every occasion.
He does
indeed. Something, and we are the little pins, okay? We are the pins, and we got to keep at this.
Yeah.
Because it is working in a very, very small way, but it's building. And I think this is so descriptive of the Bush people and what we can do. This is from Richard II, okay? I'll fly through this. I won't bore your listeners.
Sure, go ahead.
The antic sits, scoffing his state and grinning at his pomp, allowing him a breath, a little scene, to monarchize, be feared, and kill with looks, infusing him with a self and vain conceit, as if this flesh which walls about our life were brass impregnable. And humored thus, comes at the last, and with a little pin, bores through his castle wall, and farewell, King.
Indeed. That's
we need to keep that in mind, Mike.
Yeah, we do.
And the third point, just want to say quickly, this is the original reason why I called. It was from yesterday when you were playing that press conference where he invented two words.
Yeah, freeance and peance.
Yeah, you made a valid point. You brought it up, but then you moved on to something else that then when I think McClellan said something like strikingly similar. I think there's more to that, and I know I think it's come up before. People have kind of joked about it, and it's kind of gone nowhere, or it's been maybe covered over at Rents.com, you know, some of the more, dare I say, tinfoily websites.
Right.
But I swear to you, and this is coming from my educated guess as an actor, as a performer, as somebody I also host TV shows on occasion. I've done some for Fox where I've worked with teleprompters. Mm-hmm. I've worked with earpieces. I've been fed stuff.
So he just he heard in his earpiece, he just heard it wrong.
Yeah,
it was garbled.
I swear to you, because and again, I didn't see this, I heard this, and when you played the clip for me, this wasn't him like stumbling on a word. I mean, he actually did those two words.
Yeah, those words came right out as if they were valid, real words.
Yeah, again, I'm not some analyst or scientist, but I'm telling you, being an actor, and I've also I worked on a soap opera for a few years, and there's a whole kind of thing when you work on a soap, you get three cameras, they all switch.
Right,
they go to that close-up reaction, you walk in a room and somebody's doing something awful, and they just kind of zoom in on you, and it's interesting when you work with actors, you see them, I would watch them, the camera's supposed to go to them next, and instead of organically responding to me saying something to them, there's a slight dart in their eye as they wait for the red light to come on the camera that's going to be on them.
Right, exactly.
And little body language, little ticks, or when you're working on stage or in a film, you can tell when somebody doesn't know their lines and they're kind of fudging, not necessarily because they're stammering. It's sort of a look they have in their eye. And I'm telling you, in my what I've seen of him and what I'm hearing, I swear he is being fed something in an earpiece.
I would not be the least bit surprised. Captain Mike, can't let you go without just asking you fire situation out there. We could all turn to CNN, but what is your first, just very quickly, your assessment of what's going on?
Well, the extraordinary thing, just on the ground here, I'm living right here in Hollywood. I'm up in the Hollywood Hills. I mean, you can smell the smoke in the air. There's this amazing haze that's in the air here, and it's been going on. I cannot physically see it. There's some people at different points of LA, they actually see this sort of wall of brownness coming towards them. And
it's horrifying.
And it's really interesting, and I don't want to waste our time on absurd conspiracy theories and go there, but some people aren't even at Democratic Underground are saying, oh, maybe it was Bush, kind of one other thing to make it seem so horrible about Gray Davis, then when Arnold takes over, everything will be fine. But there was a great article in Salon.com about a month or so ago, and I think it was in Iowa, I may have the state wrong, North Dakota maybe, where Bush is pushing that whole logging thing.
Oh, that was up in Washington State. Two fires broke out.
Yeah, there would be less. There's a great article, and again, it's not from littleblackhelicopters.com.
Right.
It's peoplearefollowingme.com.
Right.
It's some salon.com, and these are the locals. I mean, these are the local people that said right before he showed up, Bush's advance team showed up. They saw two
helicopters.
Black helicopters go over the hill, and suddenly a fire came back, and then Bush shows up and says, "We really need to, let this place be logged. There'll be less fire." So unfortunately, you can't put anything past these people, If they would let the planes go for 90 minutes, and not.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think another, and this is admittedly a conspiracy theory about the Pentagon thing, my theory is that some people think that the Pentagon was supposed to, by the conspirators, was probably supposed to get hit first. That way they could have blamed that on the lack of response and, we were...
Yeah.
Crippled and peril, because that plane sat on the runway for 45 minutes.
That makes a kind of twisted sense. All right, Captain Mike, thanks for checking it out. I appreciate
your
call.
Take care, man.
All right, sir. Take care. Okay, let's go back to Kindergarten Central today. George W. Bush in the Rose Garden or wherever the hell he is on the South Lawn, the veranda. I don't know what that place is. Another reporter. Ask a question. Happy news. From liberated Iraq. The reporter says, Mr. Bush, senior U.S. intelligence officials on the ground in Iraq have estimated that we have at most 6 months to restore order there and quell the violence. Or else we risk losing the support of the Iraqi populace, which you've said many times we need to make this mission work. Do you share that sense of pessimism? And if not, why not? And in addition, Mr. President, are you considering the possibility of adding more U.S. troops to the forces already on the ground there to help restore order?
That's a decision by John Abizade. He makes that. General Abizade makes the decision as to whether or not he needs more troops. I believe the Iraqi people are appreciative of the reconstruction efforts. The small business owners who are all of a sudden beginning to realize there's a market developing appreciate that. The mothers who send their children to the over 1,500 schools we've refurbished appreciate that. There are going to be new textbooks coming which no longer glorify the tyrant Saddam Hussein but glorify basic education.
Oh, my God. Oh, stop. Oh, Jesus, stop. How many direct lies, how many ignorant statements, how many untruths, how many obfuscations, how many spins are just in that 36 seconds? John Abizade makes the decisions? No, George. There's a sign there. It should be somewhere in one of your filing cabinets in the Oval Office, you moron. It says, Commander-in-Chief! Do you know what that means, you deserter? That means you make the decisions, and then you consult with your military advisors. Commander-in-Chief, George, you know, dancing around the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln? The Iraqi people are appreciative of the reconstruction efforts? No, George, Iraqi people have tried to notify the global press that the American taxpayer is being gouged by a factor of 10 in the products and services that are being forced down the throats of the Iraqi people by U.S. subcontractors. Oh, and by the way, George, the latest report is that these U.S. subcontractors are not hiring Iraqis. They are hiring people from South Asia and bringing them in because those people, just like our Mexican brothers south of the U.S.-Mexico border work for less, so do the South Indians in Iraq. The small business owners in Iraq? Who could that be, George? Oh, my God. Continuing. In answering this reporter's question, too stupid to be president, invokes 911 again. Here's the question. Do you feel that the attacks that have happened recently will discourage some countries in contributing troops or manpower or money?
Good question. I hope not. That's what the terrorists want. We must never forget the lessons of September the 11th.
Oh, Jesus.
The terrorists will strike, and they will kill innocent life. Not only in front of a Red Cross headquarters, they will strike and kill in America, too. We are at war. I said right after September the 11th, this would be a different kind of war.
Can't Karl Rove write this moron some new liners? What the hell does 911 have to do with the number of foreign troops in Iraq? Oh, God. No, Kathy, get that blood pressure cuff the hell away from me. Here she comes. Another reporter's question about the upcoming election. I love this. Reporter says, Mr. Bush, you have repeatedly urged Americans to have patience when they view post-war operations in Iraq. But isn't there a limit to American patience? Particularly in an election year when your foreign policies will be the center of debate?
I think the American people are patient during an election year because they tend to be able to differentiate between, politics and reality.
What?
But I will defend my record at the appropriate time and look forward to it. I'll say that the world is more peaceful and more free under my leadership.
Oh, my God.
And America is more secure. And that'll be how I'll begin describing our foreign policy.
The world is more peaceful and more free under his leadership? He is incapable of leadership. He's an abject, absolute, complete failure. His leadership? What leadership? Where? When? The world is more peaceful? He's caused two wars. He brought about death and destruction on this country. He has turned the entire world against the United States. Is he delusional? Is he a drug addict? Is he on something? Is he insane?
The answer to all three, Mike, is yes.
Answering another reporter's question about the coming election, you gotta love how he equates campaigns with battlefields. And what was this about politics and imaginary? What, politics aren't real, George? Did Karl Rove feed that into your earpiece? Anyway, you gotta love how Bush equates campaigns with battlefields in the beginning of his answer to this question. The question is, Mr. President, you talked about politics. For weeks, if not months now, when questions have been posed to members of your team, those questions have been dismissed as politics. And a time will come later to address those questions. You indeed have said that yourself. How can the public differentiate between reality and politics, as you say, when you and your campaign have raised over $80 million and you're saying that the season has not started yet?
Look, we're arming, raising money to wage a campaign. And there will be an appropriate time for me to engage politically. That is in the public forum. Right now, I'm going out to our friends and supporters and saying, would you mind contributing to the campaign for the year 04? To me, that's a part of politics, no question about it.
We're arming. We're going to wage a campaign. We're arming. Is that another one of those little slips that Mark Crispin Miller has written about in the Bush Dyslexicon? Arming? We're arming? We're arming for the campaign so that when the hordes of little Democratic voters show up at the polls, we will have our hit squads out to murder them all? Is that what rests in this infested, feverish brain of George Bush? We're arming? Are you? You're arming for a campaign. We got time for this one? I don't think so. There were two more questions that I want to get. Well, actually, no, there's three more, but we'll get to them relatively quickly. And I appreciate your patience. If you are on hold, please stick around. I just don't want to break the continuity, the continuity of madness, the continuity of this doofus. But you understand here, he's getting some pertinent, impertinent questions. He's getting some probing questions. And you know what George Bush likes to do. He's a snot. He's a little bully schoolyard snot. And when he has not been medicated, he kind of snarls. He kind of gives you that little bitchy kind of I'm a bully attitude back. You notice in these answers, not a bit of that. That's what 30 milligrams of Valium will do for you.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aww.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages. And you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of The Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in The Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in The Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops.
Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man.
He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, Drew Ziegers.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Appeance, France. Oh, my God. Yeah, Captain Mike is right. All right, very quickly here. Another reporter this morning. Mr. Bush, or Mr. President, David Kaye's interim report cited substantial evidence of a secretive weapons program. But the absence of any substantial stores of chemical or biological weapons there have caused some people, even those who supported the war, to feel somehow betrayed. Can you explain to those Americans, sir, whether you were surprised those weapons haven't turned up, why they haven't turned up, and whether you feel that your administration's credibility has been affected in any way by that?
I felt the report was a very interesting first report, because he's still looking for to find the truth. And David Kaye continues to ferret out the truth. This is a man, Saddam Hussein is a man who hid programs and weapons for years. He's a master at hiding things.
Unbelievable. Can I call that a vague and weak response, or will I be overstating? And no answer at all to his credibility question or sense of betrayal of the American people. Talk about betrayed. Am I a Bush hater? No. I'm a Bush loather. This is astonishing. He stands there. And no matter what the question is, there's no concern here. There's no concern for the death or the destruction. There's no concern for the families being ripped apart in this country by these deployments. There's no concern for the death. And did you see the picture on the front page of the New York Times today? A picture taken immediately after the bombing. One of the car bombs went off. There's a corpse laying in the background and in the forefront of the picture, full color. There's an American soldier. What, 19, 20? Turning away from the corpse with a look on his face that defines horror, terror, confusion, doubt. What am I doing here? And Bush couldn't care less.
Oh, I thought it was a very interesting report from David Kay. Yeah, you know, it was interesting because, you know, he's still looking for to find the truth.
David Kay continues to ferret out the truth. Oh, my God. All right. Like, one more when we come back, and then your phone calls. Don't go, because if you give up your space there, somebody else will grab it. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
stop. A few
stop.
More years
no,
on
no, no, no. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A car bomb exploded Tuesday near a police station in the Iraq city of Fallujah, killing at least four people, a day after a series of suicide bombings in Baghdad left about three dozen dead. The Fallujah attack came hours after four American soldiers were wounded in ambushes in northern Iraq. Monday was the bloodiest day in the Iraqi capital since President Bush declared the end of combat 6 months ago. Suicide bombers struck the Red Cross headquarters and three police stations, and the dead included eight Iraqi policemen and at least 26 Iraqi civilians and a U.S. soldier. Influential Lebanese politician Walid Jumblatt expressed regret that U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz was unhurt in a Baghdad rocket attack. We hope the firing will be more precise and efficient next time so we get rid of this microbe and people like him in Washington who are spreading disorder in Arab lands, Iraq, and Palestine, Jumblatt said in a statement. He called Wolfowitz one of the main architects of the destruction of Iraq. The U.S. Embassy reacted with fury to the comments. Independent voters, who some say are key to President Bush's re-election hopes next year, are losing confidence in his leadership in Iraq as attacks there continue, according to a new USA Today CNN Gallup poll. In the poll, 39% of independents approve of the way the Bush administration has handled things in Iraq since Bush declared an end to combat 6 months ago. 57% of independents disapprove. In the public overall, 47% approve. That is a substantial deterioration from late April, when it was assumed that the U.S. troops had secured the country. With wind-driven flames threatening San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, firefighters got ready Tuesday for another day of battling one of the most destructive and deadly wildfire outbreaks in state history. More than 1,100 homes had been destroyed and 15 people killed by five separate blazes scattered around Southern California, from the Mexican border north to the suburbs of Los Angeles. A handful of other fires that hadn't hit any homes also consumed tens of thousands of acres of brush and forest lands, bringing the total burn to more than 500,000 acres. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
An Austrian vandal apparently bent on revenge used super glue to seal shut the doors of a public sauna and then fouled the facility's swimming pool with a large amount of motor oil on Monday. The attack happened over the weekend at the sauna in the southern Austrian city of Graz, and the investigator said revenge was the probable motive. The sauna's owner had to chisel the glued locks off the door and replace them, as well as completely drain the pool to clean up the oil, which caused an estimated $2,300 in damage. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
The rich get richer the old-fashioned way. They cut insider stretch-my-back deals with each other. Another example of such corruption cropped up in the trial of Frank Quattrone, a former hotshot banker to the high-tech industry. Frank, a banking superstar for Credit Suisse First Boston, has been accused by federal prosecutors of illegally working the system to get his bank to give favorable reviews of the performance of various corporations, thus artificially inflating the value of the corporate stock and deceiving investors. During the trial, the feds produced an email exchange between Frank and Michael Dell, the high-flying honcho of Dell Computers. Frank notified Michael that the stock of a privately held company was about to go public, and that a block of the stock could be allocated to him 2 days before the rest of the public knew about the stock offering. Frank wrote to Michael, "My team has gotten word to me that you are personally interested in receiving a meaningful allocation of the stock." This kind of insider scheme virtually guarantees that the Michael Dells of the world make a fat, effortless profit. Sure enough, Michael snapped up shares in the pre-sale at $36 each, and 2 days later, when the stock went public, his shares almost tripled in value. But the emails show that this stock gimme was just an opener by Frank to try to get Michael to throw Dell's banking business to Credit Suisse. The bank was about to hire a stock analyst who would be reporting on Michael's business, and Frank asked if the analyst they had in mind was okay with Dell. "No," was the answer. "You might be better off with a fresh new talent," Michael wrote to Frank. This is Jim Hightower saying, if the stock market strikes you as a rigged game, these emails show you're right. Back-scratching deals and hand-picked analysts are the way the game is played. And now, the powers that be want you and me to put our Social Security money in the hands of these corrupt players.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, "I don't boogie"?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hello.
Somebody emailed in and said, why are you playing so much Moody Blues music? Because I like it. Welcome back. 7.5 minutes past the hour. All right, we're down to just the final two here. Thanks for holding on. All you folks have been holding on. Your calls as soon as we're finished with this. Now, this next one is a real mind-blower. I mean, absolutely. Remember, these questions are directed at the person who is, whether we like it or not, the President of the United States, and whether we like it or not, the person who arguably controls more potential power to be used for good or for ill than any other human being, not just on contemporary Earth, but in the history, of the human of species. That would be George W. Bush. It is scary when you think in those terms. But the reporter has a question about Condoleezza Rice. And I want you to hear how he answers the first thing he says. And we'll come back to it. Here's the question. Mr. President, you recently put Condoleezza Rice, your national security advisor. You notice how they have to explain to him who Condoleezza Rice is. Isn't that cute? You recently put Condoleezza Rice, your national security advisor, in charge of the management of the administration's Iraq policy. What has effectively changed since she's been in charge? And the second question, can you promise a year from now that you will have reduced the number of troops in Iraq? Now, let me digress. All Bush has to say about the second question is, I can't give you an answer. I don't have a crystal ball. No, I can't answer. But that's not what he says. The reporter wants to know about Condoleezza Rice, what has effectively changed since she's been in charge. And the second question, can you promise, Mr. President, a year from now that you will have reduced the number of troops in Iraq?
The second question is a trick question, so I won't answer it.
Oh, my God.
The first question was Condoleezza Rice. Her job is to coordinate interagency.
What?
She's doing a fine job of coordinating interagency. She's doing what, I mean, it shouldn't have, the role of the National Security Advisor is to not only provide good advice to the President, which she does on a regular basis. I value her judgment and her intelligence. But her job is also to deal interagency and to help unstick things that may get stuck. That's the best way to put it. She's an unsticker.
She's an unsticker. She's an unsticker. The second question is a trick question, so I won't answer it. The second question was, can you promise a year from now that you will have reduced the number of troops in Iraq? A man who has the intelligence above that of a fifth grader would have said, no, I can't say that. I can't say that at all. I would hope the troops would be reduced, but there may even be a greater number there. I can't answer the question.
I think what happened was someone spoke into his headphone, in his little headpiece, and said, Mr. President, that's a trick question.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's what he says. The second question is a trick question, so I won't answer it. Oh, my God. Condoleezza Rice is an unsticker. It's just beyond belief, isn't it? I mean, how many times have I said that in the past 2 years? It's just utterly, absolutely beyond belief. I wonder if this is how Karl Rove explained Condoleezza Rice's new job to Too Stupid to Be Anything. It's okay now, Georgie. When you make sticky foreign policy messes, Condi's going to unstick them for you.
Oh, she's an unsticker.
The man who has, under his control and command, more power than Jesus Christ had, more power than Alexander the Great, more power than Genghis Khan, more power than Hitler, Stalin and Mao combined, more power than the Buddha, more power than Muhammad, more power than all the popes combined. This man says, well, the second question is a trick question. I'm not going to answer it. And my national security advisor, she's an unsticker. Oh, my God. And finally, the comment that he had to retract, not he didn't have to retract it, one of his sweepers came out and swept up his mess. The reporter. Mr. President, if I may take you back to May 1st, when you stood on the USS Lincoln under a huge banner that said mission accomplished. At that time, you declared major combat operations were over, but since that time, there have been over 1,000 wounded, many of them amputees who are recovering at Walter Reed, 217 killed in action since that date. Will you acknowledge now that you were premature in making those remarks?
I think you ought to look at my speech. I said, Iraq's a dangerous place. We've got hard work to do. There's still more to be done. And we had just come off a very successful military operation. I was there to thank the troops. The mission accomplished sign, of course, was put up by the members of the USS Abraham Lincoln, saying that their mission was accomplished. I know it was attributed somehow to some ingenious advance man from my staff. They weren't that ingenious, by the way.
Do you see what I mean about he's medicated? Do you hear that? After the news conference, a White House spokeswoman said the USS Abraham Lincoln's crew asked the White House to have the sign made. The White House asked a private vendor to produce the sign, and the crew put it up. The White House spokeswoman said she did not know who paid for the sign. I mean, even the sign, this rat bastard blames on combat veterans who have just returned from 8 months at sea, who have had their return delayed so he can play cowboy on the deck of this aircraft carrier. Now, Kathy, I want you to play that one again. The reporter says, at that time, you declared major combat operations were over, but since that time, there have been over 1,000 wounded, many of them amputees who are recovering at Walter Reed, 217 killed in action since that date. Will you acknowledge now that you were premature in making those remarks? Listen to this drugged-up thug.
I think you ought to look at my speech.
Yeah.
I said, Iraq's a dangerous place. We've got hard work to do. There's still more to be done. And we had just come off a very successful military operation. I was there to thank the troops. The mission accomplished sign, of course, was put up by the members of the USS Abraham Lincoln, saying that their mission was accomplished. I know it was attributed somehow to some ingenious advance man from my staff. They weren't that ingenious, by the way.
Unbelievable. 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 If you want to hear the whole press conference, if you've got the stomach for it, if you can handle it, go to Kathy? Whitehouse.gov? Whitehouse.gov, G-O-V, and listen to this, to this. Very quickly, from Laszlo. Mike, I'm 82 years old. I've been a Republican my whole life. I've heard many presidents speak. I've never in my life witnessed such an ignorant fool of a president and such a filthy, corrupt administration. Yes, I do believe, like FDR knew about the imminent attack on Pearl Harbor, that this band of murderous, greedy thieves knew about the imminent attack on New York City. I am not naive. This is what happens to those who sell their souls for power and money. But most people are more frightened of challenging their ideologies than they are of a terrorist attack. Quote, they have eyes and still they do not see. End quote. From Laszlo. And then this, which is kind of unrelated, but this is frightening. As you know, CNN has been doing this rock the vote thing. Oh, Jesus, didn't MTV do that 10 years ago? Rock the vote. So they had a poll. And David sent me the results of the poll. The article says that Bush gets a 66% favorable in the 18 to 29-year-old group. And he still gets 53% of folks over 29. I'm so frustrated, David writes, to live in a land of imbeciles. Maybe their stupidity enables them to communicate with the imbecile in the White House. I can't comprehend what they are seeing that makes them think he's doing a good job. I think the Democrats are in trouble because whatever we're saying is not getting through. The good thing is these 18 to 29-year-olds don't vote.
I don't get it either. We, the only teenagers who call this program are very bright, very sharp, very smart, very with it, very just absolutely understand the issues. You've heard them on this program, the 15 and 16 and 17-year-olds who call this program. But somebody that's 25, 28, 29, these, I assume, are people of if they've gone on with education, they've completed their undergraduate work, probably have gotten a master's if that's what they're going for. Some of them may even have gotten an advanced scientific degree, an MD, a PhD, whatever. These people, 62/3 of them, give Bush a favorable. What is that? What is that? What is that? It's insane. It's just totally insane. Jerry's calling from Tulsa. Hey, Jerry.
Good evening, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I want to just warn you to be careful about listening to that speech over again because it's embedded with so many layers of stupidity. I'm so serious.
I know. Am I wrong? Did he not sound like he was Valiumed up?
Yes, and he had either the Valium, the Parathion, or the Oxycontin at this point that we have to wonder about.
Yeah.
He's so delusional. For instance, I caught when you played the stuff back, you know, he says, well, it's an election year.
Yeah.
It's 2003. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming, first off, that he's talking a presidential election. But also, I'm unaware of any other elections that we've really had this year for Congress or Senate.
Not that would affect him. But then again, Condoleezza Rice is an unsticker.
Well, either Captain Mike is right. You're all right that he's getting odd things in his earpiece that he's mispronouncing.
Hey, hold on. Hold on a second, Jerry. We'll come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Quick break here. We'll be right back.
Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning. Compassionate conservative, my ass. In executions unsurpassed. Surplus gone so fast. Divided, not united. What's he want to do now? What's he going to try? Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La, 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 la.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
Cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aww.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Martin Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name Carl.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. While you're listening to the program, go to BuzzFlash.com right now. Their lead story about Bush and this banner stuff. It's what's it titled? Mission Accomplished, Anatomy of a Deadly Lie. They just put it up at 10:15 Eastern Time tonight, which is, an hour and 15 minutes ago, hour and whatever. Go there, buzzflash.com, and check this out. Jay and Eureka, I'm coming right back to you, Jerry. I haven't forgotten you. Jay and Eureka, California, my favorite of today's news conference was Bush saying, quote, those suiciders driving around in cars, end quote. Still trying to find suiciders in the dictionary. And Ben, our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief and the webmaster at WhiteRoseSociety.org, says medicated, in reference to what I said, he sounds like his own valley, medicated, he's drunk. I know somebody who recently says she saw him drinking, though she is not the most reliable witness. Okay, drunk, on drugs, you can be sure he's not getting them from the White House housekeeper like Bush did, or Rush did. Back to Jerry in Tulsa. Sorry for the...
Oh, that's fine.
Thanks for holding on.
Oh, you're welcome. The man is just absolutely delusional. He's not even telling good lies anymore. He's totally, at this point, pathological. I think he's caught in the web of his own delusion. And I think either Kathy and Captain Mike are right that he's mispronouncing his instructions through his earpieces, or my theory about him being some kind of evil Luciferian Chaldean magi if the left-hand path is right. Because he's mesmerizing people. What he does is he's mesmerizing people with his stupidity. Or he says the most obvious. Again, it's, he turns the failure into accomplishment by saying the most stupid things.
I know.
And we just go... Okay.
Wait a minute. Kathy, do you have that whole soundbite from last night where he talks about the Freedians and the Perpians or whatever the hell it was? Do you? Huh? Yeah, the Freedians. Do you have that soundbite? Okay. All right. Again, sorry for the interruption, Jerry. I want Kathy to play that again so we can hear the whole thing in context.
There was a suggestion on one of the websites tonight that maybe we had altered that Bush quote, when in fact, no, this is literal and verbatim. Because, you know, sometimes we will mess with quotes to do a parody piece. This is not a parody piece. Do you have it? Okay, listen to this.
It is a... The people have got to understand, the Iraqi people have got to understand, that anytime you got a group of killers willing to kill innocent Iraqis, that their future must not be determined by these kind of killers. That's what they've got to understand. I think they do understand that. That's what they're... It's in the interest of long-term peace in the world that we work for a free and secure and peaceful Iraq. A free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
And everybody stands there, and nobody knows what to do. The guy pisses all over himself with comments like that, and everybody just stands there. What do they do? Shuffle their feet, look at the ground, adjust their cameras, freeance and peance?
Oh, no. And nobody
says anything, Jerry. Everybody stands there.
Right.
They just stand there. And wasn't
he gave the definition for terrorist. You know, he gave a definition for terrorist as to evidence of his success and why, you know, how he wanted to spin that and answer that question. And my thought was a terrorist is somebody who wants to make people run. And hot. My thought was, yeah, they were running from the Al Rashid Motel this weekend.
Yeah, they sure were. I
don't even think they left the deposit key. They're running so fast.
I think you're right, Jerry. He's got them mass hypnotized. It's just incredible. Jerry, thanks for checking in.
You're welcome.
All right, sir.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Fighting wildfires is dangerous work. It can also be surprisingly boring. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. David Callahan has fought wildfires for more than 25 years in Oregon's Applegate Valley. He's gotten a close-up view of one of nature's most unpredictable forces.
Sometimes it's extremely exciting and downright frightening. That's when Mother Nature is really blowing up. She's, you know, moving it along, and that's pretty much the scenes that you see on television. But, you know, sometimes it's really boring.
Callahan says fighting wildfires often requires some pretty mundane work. For example, treating hot spots in areas that have already burned through can be tedious, and firefighters have to lug heavy gear over rugged terrain, usually in summer heat, often shrouded in smoke. But Callahan says the worst part is the waiting. A wildfire operates on its own schedule, sometimes crawling along. For example, during last year's Squires fire in Oregon, Callahan was on a crew waiting for the right moment to do a backburn as the fire crept downhill toward them. A backburn is intentionally set to take out fuel in the path of a fire, and it has to be timed just right. But the fire took hours to travel a few hundred feet down the slope. Callahan says the crew was still waiting at 2 a.m.
In frustration, we went ahead and did our backburn, which wasn't that effective. But it was just creeping along. There was literally nothing to do during this time frame, and that happens a lot. There's a lot of stand-around time sometimes on a fire, depending on what sort of task you're trying to do. Other times, look out. You know, you can't get out of the way fast enough.
It's that unpredictability that makes wildfires so dangerous, and it's one of the reasons Callahan opposes fighting fires that don't threaten communities or homes. He says they're part of nature and we should stay out of their way. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Terrorists are against peace. Terrorists kill innocent life. Those who would like to kill, those are called terrorists.
Enough, Kathy. I can't take any more of that. I just can't. Just can't. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Matt.
Cypress Springs, Texas. Although I'm sure people understand once you start talking that you're from Texas.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, sir.
If Condi's a unsticker, reckon who the sticker is there?
Man, I don't know.
Reckon it's Rummy or... I don't know. You know, I thought he said that when they asked who was doing all this, I thought he said the Baptists was doing it.
The Baptists?
Yeah. That's what I thought he said. That's what it sounded like to me now. And I thought, well, what? That sounded like a fraudulent slip to me.
The Baptists.
Yeah. No, I was gonna call. I got some mad net. Now I turned my Sirius satellite.
Boy, you and a few hundred other people.
I know another guy from Fort Worth, probably this mad as I was, because me and him got everybody slammed. I've heard him talk about it. But I called him and I said, "What in the hell is a ball game doing on Sirius Left?"
Right.
And she said, "Oh, this is just whenever they have something, ball games, they're going to have this. It's going to happen."
Right. It's their Sirius 145, apparently, is their dump channel. That's where they dump stuff.
And that's what makes me so damn mad. I said, "This is the reason I bought the prescription. Do you understand?"
Right.
I said, "8:00 at night, I turn this radio station on while I can hear this particular," and she talked to him. I said, "I want to talk to a supervisor."
Right.
So he got on there and he got smart with me, which I got where I wanted to reach out and touch someone.
I hear that.
And so what the SOB does, he hangs up on me and cuts me off.
Well, of course. That's
I mean, he cuts my serious satellite.
Yeah, that's Joe. That's called customer service. On the drive into work tonight, Kathy and I were talking about. She heard something on NPR when she was driving around doing her stuff this afternoon. She heard something about rage, about how they're trying to gauge rage in this country. I mean, what really pisses people off? How everybody seems to be getting more and more and more short-tempered. And Kathy said, "I was listening to this and I couldn't help but think about you, sweetheart, because," and I said, "Look, let me tell you something, Kathy. It's gotten to the point
Because Kathy said, you know, sometimes when you talk to, you used to talk to customer service representatives. I said, well, that's there you go. There is not a single customer service representative I've talked to in the past 2 years. That's why I can't do it anymore, Joe. Kathy handles it now because I get enraged. I've told people to go F themselves. I have told people to take their credit card and put it where the sun don't shine. I have insulted people, their mamas, their grandmamas, their children, their offspring, their ancestors. It's just been nothing but blood all over the kitchen floor when I'm talking to these thugs on the phone. So Kathy handles it now. So I know what you're talking about with the guy. Serious. Of course he's going to hang up.
Yeah, I want everybody with a serious satellite. Call in and catch that twerp. Now, talk to the supervisor. Get on his rear end. That twerp. That's what he hung up on me when I told him to F you. He told me not to interrupt him.
Oh, my God.
And then I called back and got on.
Wait a minute, Joe, wait a minute. You got to take a deep breath because when you get wound up, it's hard to understand you. Now, take a deep breath here.
All right. Yeah, we talk slow down here.
All right, now the serious number, it's toll-free. It's 888-539-7474.
Correct.
So if anybody wants to give them a call and just, you know, raise a little hell.
Yeah, make sure you get supervised, though.
All right, Joe. Anything else tonight?
No, just checking in.
All right, sir. Thank you. I appreciate your call.
All right,
Joe. Take care. This just in. Rocker Courtney Love has surrendered to Beverly Hills police to face drug possession charges stemming from her arrest earlier this month after breaking windows at her boyfriend's house. Love, 39-year-old singer for rock band Hole and widow of Nirvana leader lead singer Kurt Cobain, was charged with possession of the prescription painkillers hydrocodone and oxycodone. Let's see, that would be OxyContin, and what's the other one? OxyContin and OxyContin and I'm trying to think of what the other drug is. Somebody, if my producer can just get on hold for a second, what is the drug? Hydrocodone.
Yeah, you're talking about Vicodin.
Vicodin, thank you. So Courtney Love has been busted for OxyContin and Vicodin, the same thing that the pig man was busted for. I wonder if they'll have the person who sent me this. Let me see, where is it? Said I wonder if she and Rush now will get together and have clap outs or whatever, what clap therapy? Courtney Love. Oh, it's from David. Courtney Love has turned herself in. I wonder if she'll be doing the clap out therapy with Rush, or maybe pet the horsey, huh? Maybe they'll do pet the horsey. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. Think about this for just a second. I hate to talk about the pig man, but think about this for a second. If the pig man were not hiding from the long arm of the law right now and battling the spiders crawling all over his body, what do you think he would say on his program tomorrow with news that Courtney Love had been busted on these two drugs? Especially after what he said about her husband when he committed suicide, that he was just a piece of human debris, and whatever he said, the world's better off without Kurt Cobain. So here's Cobain's widow turning herself in on the very same drugs that the pig man, the filthy, degenerate, right-wing, nasty-ass pig man, sent his maid out to score for him on the street. What do you think the pig man would be saying about Courtney Love? Yeah, you know what he'd be saying. You know what he'd be saying. He'd be calling her a whore and a bitch and every filthy word that he could come up with. Right? Yeah. Of course he would. Bill is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Bill, I think you almost set a record tonight for holding on the longest in the history of this program. I do apologize.
No, don't apologize. You've gotten a lot of good callers, and I'm just feeding you information. That's all I do.
Yeah, but an hour and a half on hold. Holy God, I am so sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
No, because I like to do research and feed you information.
Okay, that's
so
cool.
Okay, so anyway.
And thanks for all those stories you send me, too.
Oh, listen, I know you appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I don't know what pill to take. Should I take the red one or the green one? I'm not sure.
The red one or the blue one?
I'm not sure. I have both Matrix movies. I'm getting ready. I'm going to watch them this week, and I'm not sure what pill. I think I'm going to take the whole bottle.
All right. Now you're asking me to take the red pill or the blue pill?
Yeah. I don't know which one to take yet. But these guys, I mean,
I say take the red one.
Okay, I'm gonna take the whole bottle. Hell with it. I'm a OD on this thing because I can't stand this guy anymore.
Yeah. Of course you're kidding.
Yeah, I know. I am kidding.
When you say you can't stand this guy, you're talking about Bush, and the things he says.
He's an idiot.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
He's nuts. The guy's an imbecile. Should be locked up somewhere. I don't know where, but.
And think again, Bill, why we impeached Bill, why the Congress impeached Bill Clinton.
I know. Bill Clinton.
Oh, my God.
Bill Clinton couldn't keep it in his drawers.
And lied about it.
And lied.
So he was impeached.
And he was impeached for that. And this guy lies every chance he gets.
And people die.
I know. I just sent you something from Common Dreams. 15,000 have died in Iraq already.
Yeah.
And this guy's saying, things are getting real good over there.
Pence and Freence. Pence and Freence.
Where'd he come up with that?
And she's an unsticker.
My God. Is that sexual harassment?
I don't know what it is. He's a drugged out freak. I cannot believe this, Bill, that in 2003 this is what we're dealing with in this country. Oh my God.
I know. And you know what's been going on for years? I got to thinking tonight. It's been going on since Nixon. Now wait a minute. We've had how many Democratic presidents since Nixon? Two.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it goes farther back than Reagan. It goes back to Nixon, and who was in the Nixon White House? Rumsfeld.
Yeah,
kicked out. But
he was in the Ford White House.
Yes, he was.
All of these monsters clustered around Gerald Ford. Remember, I don't know how many of us focus on this, but when Gerald Ford was president, we had a president and a vice president, Nelson Rockefeller, neither of whom had been elected. The first time in the history. Now, guess who clustered around them? All of these monstrous bastards that are ruining the United States were there then, around an unelected and an unelected a president and an unelected vice president.
Right.
There they all were, and here they all are now.
Again, yes. And you'd think, well, good riddance to bad rubbish. Let them make their millions. Well, my God, they're still making their millions by just being there and getting they're making millions by just how. Halliburton,
yeah, Brooks. Yeah, Halliburton, Bechtel, Kellogg Brown and Root.
You name them. It's not
so much the millions, Bill. They're thugs and thieves and capitalist swine. Of course they're going to do that. But it's the killing that goes along with it. It's the slaughter. It's the murder of thousands upon thousands of people in order for these sons of bitches to make their millions. The slaughter of thousands of people in three countries, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the United States.
Yes.
Slaughter. Yes. On and on and on and death and destruction.
And about 9/11, my God, there's so much information out there on it. And yes, you're right. It does look like there was some kind of shenanigans going on. I'll say that nicely. I don't say what I'm thinking, but if there isn't a conspiracy, then there sure was a massive failure in our defense mechanism, for heaven's sake.
Couldn't have been. This country sat still while this attack occurred on direct orders from the highest levels of the Bush crime family.
Uh-huh.
That's why this country, the multi-trillions of dollars of money that we have spent building a defense system, and all of it on one day is ineffective. Now, that's not because there's a failure in the system or a failure in the military. It is because the military was told, don't you do anything.
Well, I know. I was trying to be nice about it, and but I was trying to be diplomatic. But it's hard to be diplomatic.
I understand.
I don't like to go down the conspiracy route because people look at you like, hey, you're a nutcase, you know.
Well, the hell with those people. It is conspiracy, Bill. It is conspiracy.
I understand. I understand it. Right. I understand it is. But when I'm trying to be diplomatic, I hate people that you know, I hate people that look at you and say, you're a nut.
I know. I understand.
But anyway, you're right. And there's so many good links out there. I mean, you're right about the Pentagon. Where's the plane? I've been looking at those pictures for months.
I know.
Since 9/11.
And forget the plane. Just anything. Kind of debris. An engine. A seat.
You've got to have something there. I mean, my God, you had a giant airplane hit the side of the Pentagon. Where the hell's the plane?
I know.
And, you know, couldn't have been carted off that soon. Hell, maybe it was. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, 40 years after the fact, and now ABC is getting on the bandwagon, we're still told that Lee Harvey Oswald altered the course of history by being able to shoot three bullets.
Sure he did.
Yeah. And
if you believe right. that, I've got a bridge to sell you to New York City.
Bill, let me see if I can squeeze one more call in, all right?
Okay, please do, and I'll keep sending you...
Thank you, sir. Sending you
the links and call you again.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, you take care. Thanks, Bill. John has also been holding on forever from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
There's two aspects of the 9/11 I'd like to address. I'm not making any accusations against anybody, but I'd like to...
Go ahead. Let her rip.
First, there were four planes involved in a so-called attack.
Right.
Two of them hit the towers.
Right.
One was headed for the White House. Never made it. One hit the Pentagon, but didn't hit the Pentagon in an area where they could have taken out the chief of staffs.
Right.
It hit an area that was been renovated, and also an area, I understand, I can't validate this, where there was an agency, and I can't remember the name of the agency, that was dramatically opposed to the Bush administration.
Hmm.
And they were wiped out. Now, that I can't verify, but that's what I've heard.
Right.
Now, so there's two questions there. Now, the other thing is, as I would ask Bush, if I were able, sir, Mr. Bush, you say that you saw the first plane
hit
the tower.
On television.
It was a lie. But then you went inside, you sat down, you were reading to the children.
Mm-hmm.
Then your aide came in and told you that a second plane hit the second tower and that we were under attack. And you sat there for an additional 10 to 20 minutes before you got up and left. Now, having known that the first plane had already hit one tower, and the second plane then hit the second tower, and you told we were under attack, why did you sit there for 10 to 20 minutes before you left?
I know. There are so many questions.
Well, I mean, I never heard that addressed that way.
Yeah.
And either way, and the part about him seeing the first plane hitting the tower, we know was a lie.
Yeah.
Either way, he answers that question. If you would.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lie.
It is. Hey, John, there's the music. Got a boogie.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Quick break. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Nothing like having a few friends over for a cocktail or two.
Hi. 4 and a half before the hour. Man, I feel worn out tonight. If you've been listening to the whole program, I know you feel the same way. Trying to wade through Bush sound bites when he holds one of these so-called press conferences with Karl Rove or Dick Cheney or somebody, or Jesus whispering in his ear, giving him phony, fake words. Maybe those are words from heaven, peance and friance. Maybe they mean something in Bush's heaven. But, you know, just listening to this stuff and trying to talk about it, it's just exhausting, isn't it? I mean, surely it must exhaust you, too. I'm not a candy ass. I mean, I've got endurance. I walk. I swim.
I do a little Pilates with Kathy, but this stuff leaves me just absolutely drained. I can't wait to get out of here and go home and have an OxyContin. You know what is really funny? Next Monday and Tuesday and possibly Wednesday, I'm going to be off because I've got some major dental surgery, if that's not an oxymoron. Some dental surgery Monday. I'm going to have some implants done, okay? And I've got to have this preliminary surgery. And so the surgeon I'm going to, he gave me three prescriptions to get ready to use. One is an antibiotic. I'm supposed to start about 3-4 days before the surgery. The second one is fenugreek. It's an anti-nausea drug. That scares me. But the third one is, what is it? Not OxyContin. What's the other one? Vicodin. Yeah, hydrocodone. The third one is hydrocodone. So I've got this script at home. I'm looking at this thing. I'm going, oh, Jesus, no. Does this mean it's all over for me? Am I going to have post-op pain in my mouth? And I'm going to take this stuff and I'm going to become like Rush Limbaugh or Courtney Love or thousands of people. Am I going to be a hillbilly heroin addict now? I couldn't believe it. The guy says, yeah, well, you know, let me prescribe this for you. And I'm thinking, in the first place, I'm freaked anyway. But when they give you, you know, something like that, that's pretty powerful stuff. Now, I've taken it before when I had the thyroid surgery, but I don't remember any of that. You know, it was just for, I don't know, I took a couple of doses and said, to hell with this, give me the morphine. Dennis Kucinich, Thursday night at 9:30, after the first hour of the program. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Jay Balicki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces, of course. Mark Marshall of Maxim Interactive, thank you, sir. Our militant mods at MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, thank you. And if you want to call Sirius, 888-539-7474 and ask for technical support. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking.